Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about 30 haunted nights in Wisconsin with Mitch Goth and Brandon Rugsy. How did you guys decide? I'll go to you, Brandon. How did you decide on 30 locations? Were these kind of locations you were familiar with since you're both from Wisconsin and you got together one night over dinner or something and it was like, you know, because Janesville, where Mitch is from, has a lot of haunted locations apparently because I saw them in the book. So did you kind of put together an outline first of the locations?
Yeah, so like all good books, ours started as a spreadsheet. We sat down and sort of listed off the top of our heads, like, here are the places we know in Wisconsin. And frankly, someday you will see a 30 more haunted nights in Wisconsin because we could do two laps of the state easily. The fact is, there are more haunted places than we could fit in there. And we had to cut a lot of places. And anybody who's from Wisconsin and has read the book will be like, hey, why didn't you include this place? And we're like, yeah, someday, we promised. But there was a lot of making sure that each region had the correct number and kind of a matching scale to each. We wanted to make sure that representation was equal everywhere. Yeah, I mean, anything that we could do to find locations that were particularly interesting as well. I know in Janesville, the ability to use our research to identify who a ghost was that had never been identified before was an obvious shoe-in for the book. And in Milwaukee, we had numerous really interesting places that ended up in there.
It's really hard for me to narrow down some locations because there's so I could talk about any one of these locations that are in the book because they are all interesting to me. But since you just mentioned Janesville and you just brought that up about figuring out who a ghost was, can we talk about that?
Yeah.
What location were you at?
We were at the Janesville Senior Center in Janesville, as the name suggests, and it is a senior community center now, but it spent many years as the local library. It was built in 1903 as the Carnegie Library. Andrew Carnegie, famous robber baron of the 1800s,
yeah, spent a huge amount of his fortune. Lots of cities have those. They're around here, those Carnegie Libraries.
Yes, he built hundreds of them, I think. And one of them is still standing in Janesville. And interestingly, is along with being a library, it was also a performing arts venue. It was largely a community center then, too. And the whole third floor of the building was built into a theater in the 1930s.
That's unique. That is really yes. unique. Because most I've never heard of that.
I hadn't heard of it either, and I haven't seen another Carnegie Library with that setup since. I've seen some former churches turned into libraries. I've seen some former theaters turned into libraries, but never a library with a theater actively included. Mm-hmm. So it was a very, very unique architectural element that they were able to integrate. And now today, even though much of the lower floors are converted into, you know, modern day community spaces, the entire third floor is still that largely unrenovated 1930s era theater. And it is up on that unrenovated floor where a lot of people had reported strange entities around. A young, you know, teenager, a young woman in white, the classic lady in white of theaters that are reported, but nobody really had any information to go off of on her. But there was also this second entity, this young boy who, when we arrived to do our research and our investigating, there was really only one report of where he might have come from. A psychic had visited some years before and said that the young boy was an entity of a child who was born on the property before the Carnegie Library was built and died on the property before the library was built. So that wasn't much to go off of, but it was enough for us to go off of. So I headed over to the modern current Janesville Library, the Hedberg Public Library, that's just about a few blocks down the road. And to their history room, I dug through records and obituaries, and I found an obituary from that particular plot of land. Prior to it being the Carnegie Library in Janesville, it was the house and barn of a local doctor, a man named E.F. Woods. And E.F. Woods, in 1897, had a son who was born on that property, a young boy named Alan. And not long after, unfortunately, Alan died on that same property. And so that is the story of, you know, how we were able to, you know, come to a place, hear a sort of out there, uncertain ghost story, and go into the records, the verifiable histories of Janesville, and find out about this family who owned the plot of land before this library, and pin a name to this child's entity. And now people still encounter him, but at least they can, you know, call him Alan if they need him to, you know, stop startling them.
How exciting is that? It's like, I want to go to research this. Maybe I can find there's a little boy. And then you find that information. That's got to, I mean, you're in a library. You can't really just stand up and go, oh my God. But
yes,
that would be really exciting to come across that information.
Yeah, I honestly did not expect to find anything. I didn't even really expect to be able to find who the owner of this plot of land was in before 1903. I didn't think that would be accessible in my local library, but you never know what's accessible in your local library unless you go digging through all of the shelves and all of the records. And that's what I had to do to find this young boy's name, but it was there. It's still there. I know exactly where it is. I can find it again in a second if I need to. And I also got to learn a whole lot about the Woods family overall, the people who lived on this plot of land before then. E.F. Woods, along with being a doctor, was a really, really passionate and caring, healing personality. And when World War I broke out in the 1910s, he just had to go over and be a, you know, frontline doctor. That is what he very, very badly wanted to do. Even in his later middle age, he decided he wanted to be a GI. And so he headed over to France, and he ultimately died on a ship in the English Channel, I think it was, the SS Arabic, that was, you know, hit by a U-boat and sunk as part of World War I. And we tried to contact him, too, while we were there. And we kind of wonder if he might be there, too, because he really did put down, you know, strong roots in Janesville on that property. He lived there even after his son died there until essentially the day he had to sell it for the library. And he lived such an amazing life. There's so much you can learn just by digging into history.
I always hope when I hear a story about a ghost spirit of a child, I always hope there's a parent somewhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I don't know what really happens when you are a spirit. I don't know exactly how that works, nor does anybody. But I just thinking a child's just kind of stuck and looking for mom or dad, I always hope they're there. So I would like to think he's there.
Yeah, we can only hope, I suppose. But, or, you know, we can only investigate and see what we turn up. maybe exactly. a future investigator, whether it's us or someone else who gets the opportunity to explore the senior center. Maybe they'll catch an EVP of E.F. Woods or his shadow figure one of these days.
And Brandon, what was a location that you were particularly excited to go to, or maybe you already had some experience with it and were real excited to include it in the book?
Yeah, so I was particularly excited to include Fitzsimmons Road as it was somewhere that I spent a lot of time in my childhood. But I would say all of our spooky roads were pretty interesting. One of the particular standouts that actually happened, I wasn't necessarily excited to go here. In fact, I was explicitly not excited to go here. But after coming home, I mentioned the ice storm earlier. The next day we're coming home and it's getting late into the evening. We'd been driving for, 1,300 miles or so. And Mitch looks at me. He's like, "Oh wait, there's one last place we got to get." And naturally there's a deep eye roll from me, having driven all that way in the dense fog that had rolled in after this ice storm. But we make this decision to go to this one last place, Erie Road in Evansville, Wisconsin. So it is this tiny, narrow strip of concrete that's like hugged by cornfields. And as we're going, Mitch is telling me these stories from his time here and the tales and the legends of what supposedly happens here. And supposedly it's haunted by Old Man Weary, who committed acts of violence as ambiguous as they are varied by the retelling. And he perished in a fire that was started either by himself or someone else or an angry mob from the town. And it was just coded in these paranormal claims that you'll see headlights rushing toward you, or you'll see Old Man Weary himself, but only on the third visit, where he comes and does something to you, which is entirely unclear in the stories. There's nothing like vague danger. Or what I found the most interesting is that there's a small bridge in the middle of Weary Road, and if you put your car in neutral and let it roll over this while the car is on, it will die and stop moving. So naturally, we've been driving all day and we get to this place. There's this low-laying fog and it's just gorgeous looking, and we tried it. We put the car in neutral. We're by this bridge and we're letting it roll, and we get up to the bridge, and then we get halfway over the bridge and nothing at all happens. But the fact is, this place was so gorgeous, and this moment of just two friends on a road trip at a spooky road trying out the ghost story in real time, it ended up being the cover of the book.
I was going to ask you what that bridge was. That's the cover. Yeah. Okay.
It was such an experience. And I can tell you, like, this place had the scariest thing that we run into, which is a lack of historical evidence. Like, there is no record of an Old Man Weary. There is no record of a death or a fire on the land. But I can tell you, point blank, having been there with the low-laying fog around midnight, with the car headlights illuminating, a copse of trees right next to us, it was spooky. It was spooky for me and Mitch, who spend our time in haunted places. It's wonderful when you can spook yourself even on an old road in the middle of the night.
I love those stories because every state has them. They're all mm-hmm. very similar in that if you turn your car off, put it in neutral, there's something, or maybe you get out and you hear a baby crying, or there's mm-hmm. all different things, yet similar things to these stories.
And that brings us to a really interesting story. I know you spoke with the owner of Cambry Farm.
Yes, I did.
A little while back, yeah. And on the road to Cambry Farm, Mitch and I spent a night there. What? That had to be two summers ago?
Three, I think.
Three. Oh, my goodness. We've been doing this a long time. But ultimately, we're on our way there. And to get to Cambry Farm, you have to drive on some gravel roads. And these are loose white gravel roads. So your car ends up covered in dust. We pull up to Cambry Farm. My red Subaru, which for the record, if you want to play a fun drinking game, try to spot my red Subaru Outback in photos on the website.
I'm going to start looking whenever I'm
you
on
should,
the website.
You should. If you can see me in any of the photos, because like anytime there's a mirror, I'm guaranteed to be like ducking out of frame just a little bit. But we pull up and my car is like dusted white. And we go and look at the back of the car. And there is one very clear handprint in the middle of the window of my car. I have a photo of it somewhere. I'll send it to you after this. But it was one of those things where we're like, it doesn't make any sense why this would be here. How could there have been a handprint after we just drove through this space and parked in front of Cambry Farms? Makes no sense.
And it's a haunted location.
Exactly. and I believe that we agreed that it was after that.
That's interesting. Because I could see how a hand, like if you're at the mall, anybody could have walked by and put their hand there. But that's not the case there. There's not just people walking by.
Yeah, it was... You know, we've been on the road a lot. We've been to a lot of places. And it is always still so wonderful when we can't explain something we experience in one.
Was there other locations that you had some interesting experiences as you laugh?
So I'm a bona fide skeptic. I am always of the mind that I can explain almost anything that I see.
That cracks me up. Let me interrupt here because I almost asked you guys earlier, either of you a skeptic, but I'm like, maybe Mitch is, but there's no way you are. You've got the haunted US website.
I know.
I think that you should be a skeptic.
Yeah.
Because not everything's going to be paranormal. And so I think it's good to have a skeptic approach.
Well, and skepticism, what you end up with when you can't explain something is so much more valuable when you can explain most of it. It makes the unknown and the impossible to explain all that more alluring. Even places like Shakers. We talk a lot about Shakers as
being
one of the places. I did an
episode with them not that long ago. Oh,
nice. Yeah. Such a cool place. And we're there. We actually haven't told them this story, but we're there, and we say that this is one of the real tests of my skeptical nature. We were there with the whole Haunted US team celebrating. I think it was our 1 year anniversary of the website, and we're there celebrating, and we take their tour. And of course, we don't mention like who we are or anything. So we're just taking this tour through the building, and we're coming up the second floor stairs. And I stopped and I was like, oh, guys, I'm going to get some photos while I'm here, because why would I not? Everybody moves into this other room. And at the top of the stairs, there is a door that goes into a bathroom. And as I'm walking up, I see somebody walk kind of across the bathroom inside of it behind that door. I think, oh, it must be someone else. I bet that bathroom has another doorway that opens into the rest of the house. And I get up and I kind of peeked in there, and there was no other door. So I kind of peek my head around to see if there was any other way out of that bathroom, and there wasn't. I looked into the main room and I just said like, hey, was anybody just in the bathroom? And everybody kind of looks confused and says no. And it was this moment of just Well, I know I saw something. I saw a person walk right in front of me, and I can to this day not explain exactly what happened there.
And there's no person anywhere.
Nope.
That's
they would have had to walk in front of me again to get out of the way.
Because if I remember correctly, above Shakers, they have an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like an Airbnb? Was that where it was?
Yeah. Yep.
And they say when I talked to them, that is a very haunted location. And he kept saying, when you come here and stay there. And I kept saying, no, sir, I'm not going to do that. And now that I've heard your story, I definitely won't do that.
Yeah, we had a lot of interesting things happen throughout the course of the trip. I don't know, Mitch, did you have anything happen?
Well, I never saw any, potential full-bodied apparitions, but, there was a lot of opportunity to hear things as well as see things, and hear things that could be debunked and as well as hear things that to this day still can't be. One great location that we were able to visit where something kind of interesting happened was the Kewaunee Jail Museum. And when we stopped there, we were featuring it as an oddity, and it's featured as an oddity in our book right now. Kewaunee is a great little lakeside town just at the base of Door County, the peninsula. So I believe it's an oddity in our peninsula section of the book. And when we got there, the location was, they were familiar with their ghost stories. They had been for a very long time, but they hadn't invited, ghost hunting teams or investigators in for well over half a decade. I think it was 7 or 8 years at that point. But we were writing this book. We wanted to feature them, their history. And, they looked at what we had, our project plan. They looked at hauntedus.com, saw the kind of content we created and the quality we bring to what we do. And they said, well, we'll make an exception. You can come and you can, investigate and see what you can find and write about us. So we stopped in there. We met the proprietor, the museum manager, Brian, who got to join our investigation and show us around a wonderful museum in that building, a very well-preserved jail and sheriff's house. That's something a lot of people don't quite recall, probably luckily, as that there was a point in time where many jails were built directly onto the side of the sheriff's house.
Right, because he'd be there.
Yes, and in the era before telephones, before 911, that just made sense. Where should the prisoners be kept? Right where the law enforcement
And then are. His wife could make all their meals super easy.
Yeah, totally. If you had 80 inmates and just the one wife, then that's her problem.
She's going to be busy.
Yep. And that, as was often the case, this place was an incredibly busy jail for a really long time. It's pretty small, particularly as it relates to modern jails, but often just packed to the gills with inmates and people who needed to be transferred to state prison, people who are waiting for their court date. But nowadays, it's a history museum that displays all these different artifacts all from all around Kewaunee. And there's an ongoing question of, well, do the spirits really stem from the jail, or do they stem from the artifacts that were brought in to the jail that are in there now? And that was one of the questions we were hoping to solve by reaching out to the spirits there, to doing EVP sessions, calling out. And we were up on the second floor of the sheriff's house. We were in a room full of artifacts. I believe it was the room full of wood carvings. And this room was all full of wood carvings from the same incredibly talented wood carver who was a longtime resident right there in Kewaunee. And we thought, maybe if there's any spirit attached to these exhibits, these pieces, maybe the wood carver's attached to his projects. So we were in there asking lots of questions to the spirits of the jail that might be there, this artist spirit who might be there. And the one response that we were able to record was actually the rare instance of where we were able to hear something with our own ears when it happened. And I believe, I don't remember what the question was, but I believe the word we got was guilty. Is that right, Brandon?
Yeah. So when we listened back and for the record, when we heard this in person, it was quiet enough that it sounded more like when you can hear somebody mouthing words and breathing more than actual speech. But when we played it back, you can actually clearly hear not guilty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Of all things to hear.
Yeah.
In a jail.
That certainly lends itself to the idea that at least some of those spirits that might be in there are from the jail and not the artifacts per se.
Right. And think there would have been someone in there who either considered himself not guilty or really was not guilty and wanted you to know.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate reality of our justice system that a jail that operated for that long, it was open for, I think, close to 100 years, almost certainly had its share of non-guilty inmates.
So you're thinking about you're not thinking about it. You're going to do another book. Is there going to be a whole Haunted U.S. Travel Guide series?
That's our hope. I mean, when we first started Haunted U.S., we put together a list, and this was going everywhere on the internet. This was renting every, or I should say, taking out every book we could from the library to get a list of over 7,000 locations across the U.S. And we have what we need to ultimately do a 50-state series.
Right.
It is just, you know, getting out to places and making it happen. We so far have managed one book a year. We actually just are finishing up our next book for release. We're hoping before Halloween this year, about Illinois. So yeah, we're aiming to hit all 50 if we can.
Because it makes sense, because so much of the research has already been done. Mitch has written about so many of these places already.
Yep.
You know, and absolutely. So it's not like you're just starting from scratch. You have this wonderful resource of haunted locations.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It really does make a big difference to be able to start from a great base of research and knowledge. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we started with Wisconsin. It's one of the reasons we're moving right on to Illinois as the next big project. And it's one of the reasons I think we're, you know, going to be pretty well established and well set to make that 50-state series actually happen. Because as we are working on these book projects, we're also expanding Haunted US as an online project. There's a ton of locations in a lot of different states that there weren't before, just when we started writing the Wisconsin book. There are a ton more in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in Colorado, in Oregon, in Arizona. There's, you know, places near and far, states all over the place. And as we are continuing to write these books, we are building that research base to get what we need to write those books later on. You know, whether Colorado is our 5th or our 10th, by the time we get there, we are going to be very, very well prepared to make it just as fantastic as we can make it. And, you know, we try really hard to make things look, read, and be fantastic.
Will you take the same approach you did with Wisconsin and get out on the road and go to each place, you think?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of our simplest joys is getting to these places and talking to the people there. And it is one of the big cores of our research base that we just talked about, is making sure that we're getting the firsthand accounts.
Yeah.
If we turn back the pages to when we started, we've traveled over 40,000 miles since then, you know, land, sea, and air to get to these places and to really experience them. Because we have some locations on the website where we aren't able to get to them, and we you know, some people graciously share their photos with us for the website. But we find that when we visit places, our articles are exponentially deeper and more personal.
That makes sense. Yeah. When you guys come to Kansas, can I just spend the day? I'll meet up with you somewhere, and then we'll just spend the day. and I'll just follow you guys around. I won't get in your way. I'm a really
good. Get in our way. It'll be fun.
I'm a great travel companion.
Yeah.
You know, it would be super fun. And we've got Atchison here, super haunted little town.
Absolutely.
There's locations right here in Wichita that you guys can check out.
Yeah.
100%.
Sounds like you would be one of the exact kind of resources we look for in the states we go to.
Well, you just keep me posted when you're ready.
We will.
Illinois comes out. Is it going to be 30 haunted nights in Illinois? Are they all going to be 30? Okay, awesome. And that comes out approximately when?
We're thinking in September. We're not fully sure exactly what the date is going to be, but we are actively working on it. We're in our last round of editing, and then we have layout and kind of a final push.
Will you come back and we can talk about Illinois then?
Oh, we'd love to come back.
That would be awesome. And I found the book on Amazon. Super easy to find. Is that the best way probably to get it? Or do you sell
it
through the website?
Right now
it
is. We're hoping to sell it through the website soon. We just need to make sure that it doesn't affect anything else on the website. Obviously, we don't want to detract from what we're already doing by turning it into a sales engine. So we're hoping to sell those on the website in a non-obtrusive way.
Yeah. But it's a great companion piece to the website. So this way, you know, somebody can just get the book and it's like, I'm going to do me a paranormal vacation in Wisconsin.
Heck yeah.
And everything you need's right there. It's a great book, you guys. I am so excited to have you on today. And I'm going to guess most of my audience is quite familiar with your website. But if you're not, I'm putting a link up in the show notes so you can find it super easy right there.
Excellent. Yeah, and feel free, follow us on social media. We're at Haunted US just about anywhere, and make sure to say hi when you follow us. We love to hear about where people are from and their experience with the paranormal as well.
Well, Brandon and Mitch, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with Mitch Goth and Brandon Rugsy about their book, 30 Haunted Nights in Wisconsin. You can find the book on Amazon, and make sure you check out their amazing website, hauntedus.com. Also, give them a follow on their socials. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial-free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.